And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, football fans of Tampa Bay. This is the one and only RBLR Sports with the RBLR Bucks Posse, one of the hottest football podcasts that will challenge your perspectives, ignite your passions, and leave you craving for more. The name is Musab, and I am here to comfort you. Comfort you after that painful loss, because, hey, then again, your team could only have one win. Oh, and may I comfort you a bit more and say our next matchup is against that one-win team, also a divisional foe, and they're coming to our house. I don't know if that really means too much, though. But without further ado, it's not just me up in this podcast, and I also want to just give a shout-out to all y'all for giving us a chance. So that being said, I want to introduce my crew over here. To my right, he doesn't just watch the game. He lives and breathes every snap, every tackle, and every game-changing play. He is Zach Blaine. Zach, what's going on, man?
Oh, a whole lot of nothing, brother. Dealing with a sick baby and, you know, living the dad life. It's exciting. How about you, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing all right, I guess. Just good to be back, for sure. Had a good Thanksgiving with the family. But I will say, although the NFL day wasn't too fun for us, or at least for me, it was fun seeing all those kind of rival college football games, though. I was up on my seat watching that FSU-UF game. Won me a few bucks, but that's about it, though.
Yeah, I was on the ground crying watching the Oregon State game, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was actually thinking about you when I was watching that game because I was like, ooh, do I know anyone that actually roots for Oregon State?
Yep, you know, and one. It's me.
Yep, I know one. All right, and to my left, he'll have you feeling like you're on the sideline with him, soaking up every moment of the game. He is Mr. Carter Brantley. The center stage is yours, my friend. How you doing?
I'm all right. I hope y'all are doing well. Hope everyone had a safe and fun Thanksgiving holiday. You know, I know we're, you know, it's a Bucks show, so we're going to be kind of doom and gloom for the rest of the show for the most part. But, you know, it's still a lovely time of year. The weather's gorgeous. You know, I mean, it was a little cold today in Tampa, but, or at least cold for Florida standards. But
I don't want to hear it. It was 20 degrees here this morning.
Yeah, see, it's like 40 or 50 or I don't know for sure. But it was 67 in my house this morning, and whew, that was perfect. I love it when I wake up and it's cold in the morning. It's a beautiful thing. But anyways, hope y'all had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and continue to have a wonderful November coming into December. Obviously, the Bucks are not having a wonderful November. They lost again this past Sunday to the Indianapolis Colts, 27-20. Just kind of a tough all-around performance. Not a lot of pretty things. You know, the defense looked really, really shoddy. Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver for the Colts, had himself a field day, just tearing up this Bucs secondary. It was not a pretty sight. But regardless, what can the Bucs do to kind of the main focus for me from that game was still, I know the defense played poorly, and the defense certainly needs some work, and we'll get to that. But the offense also didn't really do a great job either. So I want to start with, because there are little things that they can focus on. And for me, the biggest thing was their hurry up / 2-minute offense. You know, just, it just seems like it's become a problem. And I don't know if it's the coaching, Baker Mayfield, the rest of the personnel, whatever the reason is, what do you think they can do to kind of fix these things? Zach, we'll start with you.
I don't know if there's anything they can do to fix the 2-minute drill at this point in the season. Like, we're 3/4 of the way done with the season. Right. So what do you see, or what can you do at this point that you haven't already done up until this point? So obviously I'm a Baker fan, and like, I know it sounds like I'm just being a homer, but I think it falls more on the coaching staff to be able to call a 2-minute play or a 2-minute drill. Like, and I feel like that's where the disconnect is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. But it's also just, I don't know. It just seems kind of lackadaisical at some points. And you know, this past weekend they had the strip sack fumble that ended the game essentially. That was it. And that, you know, that was a tough play. There was a lot of pressure. The offensive line looked a bit more rough this past weekend than they did in weeks past. But, you know, it's still just kind of discouraging because this isn't the first time that they've been in a situation where they had a chance to make some noise, make a comeback. I know that we're used to watching Tom Brady do this over and over again. He did that over and over again last season, especially because the offense was just dead most of the game. And then it was like, oh, yeah, there's 2 minutes left. Let's go play some football. And clearly they can't do that this season.
The difference was our defense was much better last year.
That's also a very good point. Or maybe the opponents they were playing were worse. I don't know. It's, you know, it could be a multitude of things. But Musab, how about you? Maybe you're a bit more optimistic. Maybe you see a bright future for this offense in regards to the 2 minute drill.
I first of all, I want to start out with, I agree with Zach. I don't want to just put it on Baker or really just any of our players. I do think that fine, you know, there are a little bit of inconsistencies here and there, but what I will say is it's just that, yeah, we're already kind of three quarters throughout the season, and I feel like we need to have some more kind of tricks in the bag, you know, as to what we want to do with this kind of 2 minute drill. My expectations have always been low when it comes to this kind of stuff. I was hoping we would make some kind of magic happen. Honestly, I will say though that it was a really big bummer that Tristan Wirfs kind of led that strip sack and then fumble recovery. That really hurt a lot. But I don't know. I just, that's really about it though.
Yeah, I mean, the worst giving up the strip sack was definitely the biggest, like, ooh, stinger of the game, just because, yeah, I mean, it's Tristan Wirfs. He's one of the best tackles in football. You certainly don't expect that from him. But, yeah, I'm kind of with y'all. At this point of the season, there's not a lot of change that I see forthcoming. The Bucs are who they are, and that includes especially the two-minute drill. And I'm with y'all. It is the burden does fall mostly on the coaches. I do think that, you know, personnel, players, as a group, you can do more to kind of push things a little bit. But also, if you're hamstrung by the play calling, there's, you know, there's only so much you can do. So I'd say it's about 70-30 coaching versus players. That's around the percentages if I had to assign a percentage for the blame. But now shifting the focus to the other side of the ball, because they gave up 27 points to Gardner Minshew and the Indianapolis Colts, which is kind of depressing. Is the defense, do you see, is this just who the Bucs are defensively moving forward, especially since Lavonte David and Jamel Dean are both potentially going to miss a little bit more time? Or do you think that, you know, maybe they can turn things around and get back to how they were playing before? Musab, we'll start with you. What's your outlook on the Bucs defense moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, with Lavonte David out, I feel like we don't really have someone to kind of save us from those flaws that he does save us from. And then on top of that, yeah, with Jamel Dean out, our secondary is already kind of a big mystery mark. Carlton Davis is up and down. It was honestly just kind of what I was somewhat expecting. Our guys still need a lot more experience. They're, like I said, I would probably summarize his whole kind of performance as inconsistent on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And that's what the defense as well, kind of just letting them get away, especially those fourth and inches opportunities that they had that they took advantage of, you know, just blowing cover. Yeah, we were blowing coverage way too much. And it's just embarrassing to kind of see a subpar team with a backup quarterback, you know, kind of ball out like that against us. I get that, you know, Jonathan Taylor, he's a stud, but the fact that it was kind of happening over and over again, and, you know, I will say that I think that I was expecting that they were going to hand him the ball a lot more, but the fact that we were blowing so much coverage, we had our own issues with our DBs, that's how they took advantage of the passing game as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of shocking to see the Bucs give up so many rushing yards. Like you said, Jonathan Taylor, great running back, but my goodness, I mean, it's still over 150 rushing yards. I can't remember the last time the Bucs gave up that many. I mean, that's obviously Lavonte David missing is a huge piece of that. But, yeah, I mean, I swear I felt like it was at least once or – it felt like once or twice a quarter. I'm sure it wasn't actually that way. But it felt like there was that little play fake they'd run on fourth and inches or third and inches, and then there would just be someone like – wide open down the field, you know, just 20 yards of space, and Carpenter would just lob it over there and it'd be a first down every time. And so, yeah, the blown coverages were just nasty. Really, really discouraging stuff. Zach, how about you? Are you just as doomed as me and Musab are, or maybe you're a bit more, you know, you're constantly picking the Bucks to win, so you got to be a little bit more optimistic.
I'm trying to – I feel like I say it every week. I don't expect it when I call – I did expect to win the Colts game. I'm not going to front there. I expected to win this game. But a lot of the other games, I'm trying to just will it into existence, you know. This defense is dog water.
Yeah.
It's not a good defense. With Lavonte David out, I think it showed even more how unreliable Devin White is. And this is a soapbox I will stand on and fight till my death, because Devin White showed us exactly what he is. He's not a leader. He is someone who gives up on plays. And I just – having him as your number one middle linebacker is not a recipe for success at this level. And I think that that's a big part of why we're having issues on defense right now, is with Lavonte David out, we are relying on him and it's just not going to work.
Yeah. I think the Gardner Minshew fake out on the touchdown was probably the most discouraging part of the game, other than maybe the Tristan Wirfs giving up the strip sack. But
yeah, I mean, there was that, and there was a few times on runs up the middle that I saw Zach Moss break a run, and the first one to make contact with him is Devin White, but it's just his arms.
Right. Yeah. Like, very poor tackling, kind of just lax and lazy. Yeah, because Zach Moss, I mean, I know Jonathan Taylor's a great back, and I'm not certainly not discrediting his performance because he racked up a bunch of yards, but Zach Moss is having himself quite a year as well. I think he's in the top five in like yards after contact or something. There's some advanced, you know, next gen stat that, you know, daddy Jeff Bezos and Amazon keeps track of, but yeah, he's been outstanding too. So it's tough. They've got that two-headed rushing attack and a pretty decent offensive line. So the Colts really took advantage of it. And yeah, Devin White was a huge culprit in that area. He was kind of a big reason why the Colts were so successful. So kind of moving forward, obviously the Bucks take on the Panthers this weekend. Hopefully it's a bounce back game, but how do the Bucks recover from such just an all around bad loss? I mean, do you think, I don't know, it's just they're 1-6 in their past seven games. So I don't know that I feel as if they can recover. Maybe you feel differently. Maybe you think, you know, Baker Mayfield steps up, because he had a great quote. He was just like, yeah, everybody's got to get pissed off. And until they're pissed off enough to do something about it, then nothing's going to change. And it's exactly right. So Zach, do you think that maybe Baker Mayfield steps up and is kind of like, hey, we got to turn this shit around. Like, this ain't going too good. We got to turn something around.
Yeah. I'm just glad that we're not snowballing, you know?
That's the Todd Bowles quote. Yeah, 1-6 is snowballing.
I feel like we still haven't snowballed. Well, then, my man, you got a very weird idea of what not snowballing is, because this is a damn avalanche to me. So I think Baker is already being the leader that we wanted him to be. Like, I think he won the locker room over the day that he got into a Bucks uniform. I think that his quotes are disheartening, because it almost feels like you expected this whole team to buy into what we were doing. And to me, when he makes a quote like that, it almost makes you feel like, well, damn, who's not buying in? Like, who is he talking about, in my mind, that we're like, until other people change, you can't expect anything to change. Right. I'm hoping he means he wants ownership to fire Todd Bowles, because he's ass dookie. But, you know, it felt more like he was talking about certain players. And I think that him speaking up and stating that might make those players play harder, which, you know, fingers crossed, works out for us.
Fair enough. Well, Musab, how about you? Do you think that maybe the culprits or the lazy bones of the team are going to step up after these Baker Mayfield comments? Or do you think maybe it's like, dude, it's, you know, what, week 13 or whatever, like the ship has kind of sailed?
A little bit of both. I mean, obviously I'm hoping that they are definitely aware. And I think being that we're going against the Panthers, I think this is a great opportunity for them to step up and, you know, really perform to the best of their ability. But for me, I kind of, then again, I'm just thinking that this is kind of just a recipe for failure. I feel like the coaching staff is really just hasn't set up people like Baker Mayfield for success. You know, I feel like that's something that he's been struggling with a lot in his career. And I mean, I won't say I'm a Baker homer as much as Zach, but I mean, I really do love what I see from him. And it just really sucks to see, again, just how kind of up and down our team is on both sides of the ball. So how can we recover from this? It's just really just seeing more consistency and also just making the best out of it with our injuries. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, some guys are being given some chances, and so far they're not really stepping up. It's kind of just next man up, and the next man up is pretty sorry. So it's kind of tough to watch, if we're being honest. But yeah, I'm with y'all. I don't think anything's going to change. This is just kind of who the Bucks are, unfortunately. Zach, I know you mentioned Bowles being on. I'm sure he's on the hot seat for both of y'all, and he's on my hot seat as well. But Lavonte David kind of came out, because Lavonte David, I mean, obviously a player is never going to badmouth a coach, or at least a smart one, especially one like David. So they're never going to openly be like, yeah, we hope he's gone by next week. Like, no, he's going to step up. But Lavonte David went kind of above and beyond, and he said Bowles was one of the best coaches he's ever played for. So what are your views on Bowles' job security? And does Lavonte David's quotes maybe change your mind at all, Musab? I mean, they don't really change my mind at all, because it's just, you kind of can't take these quotes. You kind of take them with a grain of salt. So, yeah, what are your views on Bowles' job security?
I think that, I mean, it's time for him to go. Obviously, I don't think in the past we've ever gotten rid of someone mid-season. So
yeah,
we'll have to wait till the end of the season. But, I mean, what do you expect Lavonte David to say? You know, he's not just going to start flaming this guy on, you know, yeah, the whole public. But it's just embarrassing. You know, the fact that this guy has been with our team, Todd Bowles has been with our team for a while now. We kind of take a defensive minded coach and put him at the head coach position, and we're doing nothing on both ends. You know, all those kind of fourth and inches examples that we were discussing. And then even on the offensive side, you know, the big thing that I noticed was, and I feel like a lot of people were calling him out on that, was, you know, he failed to challenge a pass that Mike Evans had got. They ruled it incomplete. And then, you know, you see Mike Evans, someone who doesn't really whine and complain like that, telling Todd Bowles, like, no, like, dude, like, that was a catch. Like, he was adamant on that. But, you know, again, Todd Bowles doing what he always does on the sidelines with this kind of just dry, monotonous looking face, does nothing about it. And he gets saved by Baker Mayfield on that 4th-and-10 play. So, I don't know. I don't think this quote really means anything. I feel like everything that comes out of Todd Bowles' mouth is very kind of corporate. You know, when something happens, like someone gets shot in your office, and then the CEO is like, we here at XYZ company are committed to excellence, and here's a free 5-minute therapy session with someone who graduated from Southwestern Nebraska Community College. Yeah, DeVry University in 1949, and after your first session, it's only $14.99 per minute, blah, blah, blah. That's how I feel, honestly. Anything that comes out of his mouth just means nothing to me. It's very generic. He's dancing with all these questions and dodging the bullets as to what really needs to be addressed. And I'm going to get off my soapbox now, because I'm sure Zach's got some things to say as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for sure.
You're right on, bro.
For sure. Before we get into it, I do want to follow up with Zach with a question kind of that's been brought up from what I've been reading. People have kind of pointed out that Bowles was brought on kind of late in the offseason last year, and that this is like year one for Bowles, that he's had his own staff. How much do you buy into that? Are you still like, no, screw this? Like, he's had 2 years now. This is who he is.
And he's had more than 2 years. He was head coach of the Jets. Like,
fair enough. Yeah, it's a good point.
Everyone has to remember this is not his first head coaching job. I wish we would follow after the Panthers and just, like, you know, maybe not do it 2 years in a row, but get rid of him tonight. Like, I don't want to see him on the sidelines on Sunday, let alone next season. So
you want to fire him this, like, Like,
I wanted to fire him last season. So, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a rigged question in favor of me, like, for my answer, because I've already been saying I don't like Bowles. I don't think he's an adequate head coach. I don't think he looks lost out there. And to see him consistently screw the same stuff up over and over and over again, it makes you wonder, like, when is it enough? And I know, like Musab said, we're not going to fire him midseason. He's not. He'll be here all the way up until the end of this season. And I wouldn't be shocked if he was back next season. I don't think it's Jason's job or Jason's decision. I think it's ownership. But I don't know. I feel like our ownership is just not in tune with what Tampa needs as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Yeah, it's hard to fire a guy, you know, in year two who took you to a division title the year before, especially if the Bucks somehow manage to turn this around and win the division this year. Good Lord, they're not firing him for another 2 or 3 years, exactly. No matter how bad of a job he does, unfortunately. And yeah, I'm with you, Zach. I would love to see him get fired after the season, but unfortunately I'm with you. I do think they bring him back next year.
Yeah.
I don't think that they axe him, because I just think that for whatever misconstrued reasoning they have in their head, I think that they're just like, oh, well, it's, you know, he needs more time. He needs more time with his staff. I don't know how much I buy into all that stuff. So yeah, I'm with y'all. I hope that he's gone at the end of the year, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if he's back next year. So yeah, I don't know. This is a sticky situation for sure. Cause I just, they've got that contract with him. They signed him to an extension. So I don't know all the money and everything, but yeah, it's depressing. But one thing that's not depressing, if you're looking to bounce back and if you're looking for the anti Todd Bowles in regards to, you know, gear and swag and stuff like that, definitely check out the RBLR shop, shop.rblrsports.com. You can check it out there. We'll even throw a promo code your way, Canon, CANNONS, 10% off your whole entire order when you type that bad boy in. We got Rays, Bucks, Lightning, and Rowdy stuff. If you're looking for something to you know, for a Christmas gift or for a holiday present, whatever you're looking for, we've got it. Looking to, you know, support your local sports teams, definitely check it out. We'd really appreciate it. So after that shameless shot plug, we'll get into the Panthers game. But before we do, I do want to take another kind of broad look at the Bucks, because, you know, as much as this Panthers game we're going to talk about, we're going to get into it. It's a matchup of a team that's 1-6 in their past 7 games and a team that has 1 win on the season. These are 2 pretty awful teams. So there were not, you know, it's worth talking about, but we're not going to exactly take too deep of a look. I want to take a big picture look. Are there any we're kind of nearing the end of the season, you know, we're past the halfway point, and from y'all's evaluations, are there any players that are worth bringing back or holding back from trades? Like, are there any kind of cornerstone pieces that you see on this roster? Zach, we'll start with you. Are there any guys that you want to see in a Bucks uniform in the future?
I mean, our young guys, like Cansey, obviously, Vita Vea, I don't ever want him going anywhere. Antoine Winfield, you know, Yaya Diaby's showing me a lot lately too. And you know, I mentioned him as my player of the week, in our group chat, but Servasio Dennis, I think it could very well be the answer when Levante David leaves. So there's a few people that I would consider untouchable. I obviously want Baker back. I think that he's done a solid job at with what he's got. But I think for the right price with this team, I wouldn't make anybody untouchable.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. Musab, how about you? Maybe you're a bit lower on some of these guys, or are there any guys that you're really like, oh, nope, can't trade him? You know what I mean?
No. I mean, at least on the offensive side, I'm open to anyone. I'd be open to keeping Baker, I'll tell you that. And then, I mean, just for our weapons, you know, we got offensive weapon like Mike Evans and Godwin, but who knows what happens with them. On the defensive side, just the young guys that have worked out, you know, unlike people like Logan Hall or, you know, JTS, for example. I'm open to people like keeping Cansey and Diaby. I love Diaby, the fact that we got him in this draft. Vita Vea, Yeah. I mean, those are the kind of people that I think that if they get the right coaching, they get the kind of right chemistry going on, I mean, they really got a huge or a very high ceiling is what I meant. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I got your Cash App's on the way for saying Baker should stay.
Sorry. Oh,
I made you.
Oh, man, we're a corrupt podcast now. We're taking bribes on the side for our opinions. My goodness, we're no better than the U.S. government. Good gracious. Anyways, I'm with y'all. There's not really anyone that I'd consider like untouchable, like Zach said. Tristan Wirfs is probably the most valuable asset or commodity that the Bucks have on either side of the ball. I'd be interested to see if they look into trading him at all, just because, you know, I don't know. It's tough to have a left tackle that's that good, and you know you're going to have to pay him on a rebuilding team. But then again, at the same time, if you bring in a franchise quarterback, you want to set him up for success. So it's this kind of weird dichotomy where you don't want to necessarily – the timeline kind of has to match, but at the same time, you also – don't want to be setting up a guy for failure and having him deal with a crap offensive line. That's just the worst. So yeah, I'll be interested to see how the Bucks move forward roster construction wise. And it's just, you know, there are going to be some tough decisions that have to be made, unfortunately. But now moving on to the Panthers game, obviously, you know, these are two pretty bad teams, but the Panthers are considerably worse than the Bucks, I'd say. You know, they just fired their head coach, Frank Reich. They brought in an interim guy to bore, and who knows how this is all going to play out. But are the Bucks good enough for this to be a trap game? Like, is that like a thing for the Bucks? Musab, we'll start with you. Like, can you view this as a trap game for the Bucks, even though they're 1-6 in their past seven games?
No, I think after everything we've been through, this is definitely not a trap game. This seems very straightforward to me, especially with all the issues that they're dealing with as well. Now, would I be completely surprised? No, I wouldn't be surprised by anything. It puts me down to say things like that, but truth. I feel like honestly, it's just like who's got more issues, you know, and it sucks when you got to compare two teams like that, but that's really how it is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that the Bucks are good enough for them to consider. But, you know, players are weird. You know, athletes are weird. They view themselves in very different lights than they actually are. And I get it because you have to. You kind of have to be arrogant as a professional athlete. Otherwise, you might not have success on the field. Yeah, you got to be very confident. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. But, yeah, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bucks lose this game to a really, really bad team with an interim head coach that's galvanized by the new coach. Zach, how about you? Are the Bucks good enough for this to be a trap game? Or
what is Carolina's record the last seven games?
1-6.
1-6. Right. The last six games?
Yeah.
1-6.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
This can't be a trap game because we both suck. Just plain and simple. They are the same team as far as record goes the last seven games. Recency bias would show that this is going to be a bad game of just bad all-around players. Like, we're going to see either a really high-scoring game or a really low-scoring game. Like, this is not going to be a blowout on either side. It's going to be a weird game where Baker Mayfield goes off for like 400 yards. Bryce Young has four touchdowns. Like, it's just going to be some crazy game where these quarterbacks look like gods because just both teams are dookie.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the truth. So in that similar vein, what has to go wrong for the Bucks to lose this game? Because I think the Bucks are theoretically favorites, but then again, who knows? So, Zach, what has to go wrong for the Bucks to lose this game?
I think it's more what has to go right for us to win this game.
Okay.
I don't think that anything has to go wrong for us to lose this game. I think that our defense is not good. And, I mean, I know I've said it a lot this show, but I think that them having the injuries and the players that are out there right now, I think – makes it possible for any team to beat us. I don't think that we're a scary team this year, and that's That's why I say I think it's more of what has to go right for us to win as opposed to what has to go wrong for us to lose.
Wow. That's some real stuff you just said, Zach. I mean,
I hate it, but it's just the truth, man.
For sure. It's depressing, but it's real. Yeah. Usab, how about you? Are you kind of with Zach? It's more like what has to go right for the Bucks to win? Or do you still think, oh, well, the Bucks still have to screw a lot of things up for them to lose?
No, I think, yeah, what Zach said, we're not a scary team at all. I mean, this is the way I kind of see it is, these are like the worst two teams in the consolation bracket. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, no, but the worst teams in the consolation bracket as well. Right. You know what I'm saying? So,
we're the losing teams in the losing bracket. Like,
this is like, yeah, this is where it's like, yeah, the Cinderella stories that made it to the March Madness bracket or whatever you want to call it. But I think it's just the fact that we've had so many inconsistencies. I wouldn't be surprised if we screw it up again. And then we have these injuries as well. I just think that if they keep on taking advantage of our, you know, our issues and our mistakes, that, and if we don't change them at all mid game, I think it's going to be a really scary one. I'll leave it at that. I don't want to say that, oh yeah, Panthers can get with the win, but then again, I don't want to say that either. I don't know. After everything I've seen and after having so much hope for this team, you know, I got my cousin who's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and he's always asking me because he's got FanDuel up in New York. He's like, yo, man, should I add Bucks to the parlay? And sometimes I tell him, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, man, hammer it, man. Juice it up. Juice up that.
I lost like $60 this week on the Bucks, so I don't
bankrupt on the Bucks is nasty.
Yeah, dude. And then he sends me a little text with a little like watery eye emoji saying, I thought you said Bucks were a lock.
It looked so good. I bet just the straight money line on Tampa, and then I put another little bet on Baker to throw two touchdowns and Tampa to win, and it just didn't
Tell you this, man. I had Baker 200 plus yards, and he ended up with 199.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's worse than a heartbreak. Yeah. That's what worse. Yeah, that's what worse than being dumped by a girlfriend or boyfriend.
Oh, man.
When your beloved quarterback is just 1 yard short of you winning your little five-leg parlay.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, bro. Trey Palmer could have got you that money.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's harsh. Oh, that's a lot to put on Trey Palmer, but, hey, it's the truth. Oh, man. Yeah, it's tough. Although I will warn our listeners and to anyone out there, if the words Bucks and lock ever come up, please – don't run ever,
whoever's telling you that's a dirty liar.
Yeah, no, unless it's a lock.
Like I could be a rich man if I just bet on the other team like this season so far.
I told Michaela this week, I said, I'm just gonna start going against my grain, like against my gut. Whatever my gut says, the other way, because I'm god awful at betting, apparently.
Yeah, it's tough. But anyways, yeah, I mean, let's speaking of gambling, putting money on stuff. Not that we're, you know, a gambling show, but if y'all had to put money on it, because both of these teams awful. And the bad news with the Panthers is that they don't have a first round pick this year. Like, they're going to be the worst team in football. And the number one overall pick that they should have is going to go to the Bears because of Bryce Young. So what are the odds? Like, if you were a betting man, to either of these teams, we'll ignore the NFC South being the worst division in football because either of these teams could theoretically make a weird run and win this division. But to either of these teams win a playoff game within the next 5 years, like if y'all had to put money on it, do either of these teams win a playoff game in the next 5 years? We saw yes or no. Go ahead.
Oof. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm just going to have to give it straightforward. I'll say yes at probably year five. Maybe wow. Four, but okay. Year five. I feel like things could change for sure in the next couple years. Definitely not next year or the year after for sure. But I think there's potential, at least for the Buccaneers. But I don't think so for the Panthers.
Wow. Okay. So you're not only saying yes, but you're saying the Bucs. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I dig that. Zach, how about you? Are you yes or no?
So I'm a yes, but I'm a yes for honestly both of them. I think that Carolina is building more for the future now anyway. They are a bad team. There's no doubt about that. Like, I don't think anyone's arguing that. But I do think that they have pieces that could be good potentially. So I see them in the next – I agree with Musab that I think if it's Carolina, it's going to be more towards year four, year five in this five-year stretch. You know, Tampa, I think, is closer than some people might think.
Okay.
Do I think that we are one piece away from a Super Bowl championship? No. But I think – you bring in two or three free agents, like say, let's say we bring in a corner, we bring in a couple of linemen. I think that our offense, outside of our offensive line and our running back, I think we could be potent. And I stand on that still. I think our defense is where we're lacking with big pieces. I think we need a corner or two, if in all honesty. And I think our linebacking core with Levante David getting old, he's still putting up great numbers, so I'm not taking anything away from him, but outside of him, I'm not sold on anybody yet. Servassier Dennis is kind of getting up there for me, but I think that this team in the next two or three years could win a playoff game again.
Wow. Okay. Well, y'all are going yes. I'm going no. I don't think either of these teams sniff a playoff victory in the next 5 years. If I had to go so far as to put a yes or no on either of them making the playoffs at all, I would go no on both of these
teams. That's wild. See, I don't think it's a bad answer, though. That's right. Like, I think that's the I don't want to toot your own horn, but the genius behind this question is that there's not a wrong answer. Like,
sure, it's a very
no, and there's a legitimate chance that they never in the next 10 years they don't sniff a playoff win.
Of
you know,
course.
But for then sure. I also see like what Musab's saying, how I think Tampa. I'm leaning more towards Tampa, obviously being a Tampa fan, but I think that both these teams have potential for the future. I don't think that either one of them are going to sniff a Super Bowl anytime soon, but a playoff win, like a wild card, are we counting wild card?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because I've seen crazier shit happen. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough because you know, I've been listening to a lot of baseball podcasts and they talk about these kind of things. Like they had a really brutal one about the Rockies. Like, what's more likely, an expansion team winning a World Series or the Rockies winning a World Series in the next 10 years? It was a brutal question. But so that kind of popped into my mind. I was like, well, we could do this for the Bucks and the Panthers because these are two pretty bad teams. And I hate to say it, but the Bucks, I think the Bucks are going to get worse next season. I think that things are bleak. They have some aging veterans that are going to get paid by other teams. I don't think that they're going to want to commit long-term money to some of these guys. And I think that they get worse next season. I don't know if it's a lot worse because you can't do a lot more worse than what they're
playing. Right. What are we going to be? Two less wins?
Right. Yeah. So I don't know how much worse they get, but I don't see them getting any better next year, unfortunately. But then again, you know, we've seen crazier things happen. And you know, with the NFL, you're kind of a franchise quarterback away from kind of turning into a relevant team.
Yeah, exactly.
So because once you get that franchise quarterback, if he's really good, then he's on that five-year rookie deal. Then you can kind of see what the Chargers have been trying to do or what the Bengals did for a little bit. And you surround him with a bunch of sort of expensive talent. And then once his contract expires and you have to re-sign, and then you kind of have to get into the nitty-gritty stuff.
Well, but then you get the Tom Brady effect. I mean, I call it that just because you saw it in Tampa.
No, for sure. You get guys coming over because of the quarterback.
Want to play with him, so they'll take a, you know, a discounted contract to come play with Brady. I bet you there's guys that go to play with Justin Herbert. There's guys that go to play with Joey. Like, there's quarterbacks out there that people want to play with, so they'll take a smaller contract. I don't think Baker, as much as I love him, is at that point.
No.
And I don't know that he will be. I think that he is a good quarterback. I don't know if he's ever going to be a great quarterback in Tampa.
Right. So, and even guys like Joey B and Justin Herbert, and, you know, the only guy right now that's kind of like that is really Mahomes. Like, Brady had that effect.
I feel like people want to play for Buffalo. They just – that Buffalo is so set in their contracts. Like, they've got their pieces.
Yeah. So,
and they look like trash this year. Like,
for sure. Yeah.
McDermott. I'm not claiming it this year, but, I mean, Josh Allen, in my opinion, is still the second best quarterback in the league.
Anyways, that's another topic for another time. That might be a good off-season episode.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
For sure. But moving on, how confident are you guys? So, like, we'll get into predictions and we'll get into that at the end of the episode. But let's just put a number on it. Like, if you had to put a percentage point on how confident you are that the Bucks win this, how confident are you? Zach, we'll start with you. What's the confidence number?
How confident am I they'll win?
This week, yeah.
4%.
Wow, 4%. Okay.
That was kind of a joke. I just wanted to be kind of funny, but right. Realistically, it's 50-50. I won't go over 50% that they win this week.
Okay. Wow. 50-50 for Zach. Musab, how about you? Are you on the 50-50 train too?
No, I'm going 60-40.
Okay. I dig that.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards them winning, but 40% is still a solid chance that we lose. You know, 60-40 isn't that bad for the Panthers either. So it's going to be a crapshoot is what I'm thinking, but yeah. We'll discuss that further. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to be the optimist of the group. I think that we are underestimating how bad the Panthers are. I'm going to go 70-30. I think I'm 70% confident that the Bucks. ESPN has them at 71% favorites. They're 5-point favorites on the
spread. I don't know that we score 5 points, boys. Let alone be a 5-point favorite.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough thing, but I want to reemphasize how bad the Panthers are because they have lost some ugly games. They've looked ugly out there. So I'm going 70% Bucks. So that's kind of my confidence level. But now we'll get into some over unders and Musab. I believe you've got some over-unders for us.
All right. Yeah, I got some over-unders. So my first one is Buccaneers team total over-under 20.5.
Like exactly. Total points?
Yeah.
Yeah, just for the Buccaneers.
Under. I'm going to go under as well.
Going under. Okay. All right. This one's What do you say?
Yeah, you just look at that offense, and that's
there's no explanation needed.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
how about you, Todd?
I'm actually going to go over. I think it's just going to be an absolute like kind of more offensive battle. I don't know why. I just think that something might change, but you best believe I'm not betting on that. I think I'm staying away from the Buccaneers for the rest of my betting career.
At least for the next 5 years.
Yeah, at least for the next 5 years, for sure. This one I just kind of figured I'd get a little bit unique with it. Over under 17.5 yards for Baker Mayfield rush. Ooh. Like rushing yards. Over. Yeah.
Over.
Okay.
Oh, I think I'm going to go under on this one too.
With how bad his pass blocking has been lately.
Yeah, I think my main concern is just his ankle. I know he kind of
I didn't think about that.
The tweaked ankle this past Sunday, and it seemed to really limit his mobility. But then again, you know, he likes – I know our producer hates this, but the angry runs, that's Baker's favorite thing to do. You know, scramble for a few yards and then take a stupid hit and then, yeah, first down. And then it's like, oh, yeah, man, let's go Bucks. And it's like – you could have fumbled on that play, though. But anyways, it's certainly possible that he goes over. But if I money on it, I got to go under. Musab, how about you, though?
I'm going to risk. I'm going to say over. I think he'll find a couple opportunities to rack up over 17.5. But like any Buccaneers-related bet, I am not betting on that.
This is certainly not a gambling show because it's a Buck show. And if you're gambling on the Bucks, you're going to have a hard day.
Hey, if you're gambling on Bucks, we get you. There's a few numbers I can find.
Yeah.
I think the one time I told my cousin not to bet on the Bucks was when I think we won against the Titans. I was like, yo, man, I'm not feeling it today, dude.
Yeah.
Look what happened. So
I feel like at this point, betting on the Bucks is borderline like betting on Japanese table tennis or something. It's gotten if you're doing that, you're down bad. So if you're betting on the Bucks, you're down bad. Like you can't be doing that at this point. But anyways, we've reached towards the end of our episode, so it's prediction time. So I'll go first. I got the Bucks winning 16-9. I don't think it's a very high-scoring game. I think the Panthers' defense is just good enough and the Bucks' offense is just bad enough to kind of limit the scoring, and I think the Panthers' offense is lost, like, beyond just really bad. They've switched play callers, like, three times this year. The offensive line is awful. I mean, Adam Thielen is their number one wideout. Like, what the heck? I mean,
hey, he looks rejuvenated, though, bro. I'll give him that.
Okay. Rejuvenated on a 1-10 team. What the hell are we talking about right now? I don't know if I'd be rejuvenated. As a player. But, all right. You go for it, man. So how about you, though? What's your score prediction?
I'm going 24-16 Buccaneers win.
All right, that's a solid one. Zach, how about you?
17-17 tie.
I can't even tell if that's a troll. Like, maybe that's just
your I don't know. I just nothing would surprise me at this point. I think both teams suck, and what's better than two sucky teams? Well, two sucky teams both sucking at the same time and tying it up. I'm going 17-17 tie. Wow. I swear to God, that's my ghost. I'm done.
If this game ends in a tie, I might buy a Baker Mayfield jersey. Like, I will wear it on the show, and I will, like, I might even buy
it. If this game ends in a tie, I'll buy you a $50 gift card to any massage spa in Tennessee so you feel rejuvenated.
Just like Adam Thielen on the jersey.
I'll get you an Adam Thielen jersey you can wear to the spa.
I'm cool with that too. You heard it here first. Those are the bets. Now, I already lost out on my cookies from Carter's mom, so yes. I wouldn't listen to these bets too much, but still, those are the bets.
All right, well, fair enough. Well, we're near the end of our episode, and if you've stuck around with us this long, then we really appreciate it. Definitely hit that like and subscribe button. We've got more, you know, silly, whimsical content for you like this, because the Bucks are going to keep sucking, and we've got to find stuff to talk about. So, you know, it's definitely a really fun show, and we'll keep doing it. So hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard. But also give us a follow on social media, because you've got some wonderful shows about far better teams like the Rays, the Lightning, and the Rowdies as well. So give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at RBLR Sports. Definitely check us out there. But it's a Bucks life, and we'll see you next week. And hopefully we're not talking about giving the Panthers their second win, because that – man, that's going to be a tough show to get through. But
if they win, I'm not coming back next week, guys.
If they win, I'm pretty sure. If they win, we got to find a way to get Spotify and Apple Music and all these other podcast platforms to put our podcast under the comedy section.
It'll be a stand-up bit. Yeah. Oh, well, this has been a goofy episode, but it's a Bucks life. You gotta laugh through the pain. So anyways, as always,
go Bucks. Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.